Your Excellencies, Honorable Ministers, esteemed panelists, ladies and gentlemen, I feel honored to stand before you to give this presentation. But like everyone else, I want to join in thanking the WIPO Secretariat for this wonderful idea that has brought us together. I must say that you are going to have an overdosage from two South Africans. The previous speaker, Tony, was from South Africa, and I'm also coming from South Africa. But we're taking probably a different approach to the issue at that. But I also thought I should begin with branding South Africa. As you can see in the picture there, we have a site from the Confederation Cup. And one of the instruments that you see there is a vuvuzela. It's a local instrument that was making so much noise that it created so much debate by the visiting soccer teams within that. But that item is derived from traditional knowledge. That the inventors of that item actually are not the beneficiaries of the money that is coming through that patented item. And what I want to focus on today is to look at the role of traditional medicine in the national system of innovation and how it can contribute to making cheaper medicines or to bring about cheaper innovations and how we can address the neglected diseases of the poor and how we can contribute through this innovation to making medicines accessible. Of course, another question that I'll be able to attend to is how can we take these medicines that come from traditional research into the market? So this is the roadmap that I need to follow in terms of the areas. Given that there isn't too much time, I must move on. I will focus on looking at South Africa's rich biodiversity, rich traditional knowledge, which we will locate in the pharma with an F, and then how it combines with biotechnology and indigenous knowledge to give us the products that we call pharmaceuticals. As everyone has been calling, a dynamic and effective IP dispensation has become a focal area, an integral feature of strategic importance for a successful economy. The level of IP creation and protection has been recognized as a critical factor and incentive for economic activity. Leadership today is determined by creating and harnessing knowledge, the nation's ability to convert knowledge into innovation and wealth is a determining factor in terms of the position of a country. I want to maybe begin right away at the beginning to get into the issue of balancing of rights. As you know, South Africa is a new nation, having come through a long period of colonialism and a shorter period of apartheid, in which indigenous knowledge was consigned actually probably to the dustbins of history. It was considered to be a myth, magical, and also not of value. So since 1994, having come into the government, the African National Congress, through its president, second president, Mbeki, they've been advancing the African Renaissance. And the African Renaissance can only but be built on the issue of indigenous knowledge. And it is in this line that we're also looking at the role of traditional medicine in the African Renaissance, the rebirth of a continent. In this case, indigenous knowledge systems have enormous economic and social potential for orders of the knowledge. And the problem we're beginning with is that the current IP system fails to adequately protect IK, and we've been involved for a long time in the IGC to try and come up with an appropriate international framework to protect indigenous knowledge in all its varieties. To this extent, a new system of protection to address the needs of indigenous communities is certainly a necessity from where we're coming from, because it will recognize the unique developmental needs of individual countries, and it will contribute towards achieving an equitable balance between the interests of indigenous communities and those seeking to commercialize their knowledge. And we have also noted the South African national legislation has an inability and deficiency in terms of the intellectual property rights regimes to fully accommodate and protect indigenous knowledge. To this extent, misappropriation, misuse, and desecration of indigenous knowledge continues. Whether it is a perceived issue or it's actually happening, it is a problem. In this arena, in trying to address these issues, I'll cover a few points just for your interest, in that the government has initiated innovative enterprises for the protection and development of African traditional medicines. These have included the following. In the science councils, there's been a major thrust to interface this. And we have our medical research councils. We also have a national drug development from plants platform and consortium. We also have MRSC, Medical Research Council, lead IKS laboratories, and we have also the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research Bioprospecting Program. And all these have realized the importance of indigenous knowledge and especially ATM to the economy. In the university arena, we also have several universities that are working around this. The few that I've picked on are merely to illustrate the point. The South African Herbal Science and Medicine Institute at the University of Western Cape is also affiliated, or it's an institute that's supported by the National Institute of Health from the United States. So it is a leading institution in herbal medicines. We also have a National Reference Center on African Traditional Medicines. We have Traditional Health Practitioners and Biomedical Scientific Scientist Program aided by the University of KwaZulu-Natal. The Department of Science and Technology has also created research chairs, and this University of KwaZulu-Natal is one of those research chairs that has been put in place. But it's also about biotechnological regional innovation centers under the biotechnology platform who are involved at the regional level in all its 9 provinces in indigenous medicines. This is just to illustrate that even we're also positioning these laboratories that we are creating at the cutting edge level. But note that in the partnership, we're not leaving out indigenous knowledge holders and researchers, private partnership that we have achieved to bring together. I want just to focus as well on a few of some of the efforts that have been made in the country to show that this is an intergovernmental approach. It is not just one department that is doing that. The Department of Health initiated a very important bill, African Traditional Medicines Health Practitioners Bill. And this particular bill was important to affirm the health practitioners, to give them back their dignity, that their knowledge counts. But it was in recognition that about 80% of the population still uses or accesses traditional medicines, so that they are still a very important practical element of providing access to medicines and health services in the country. It's also an important part with the CBD provisions. Our Department of Environmental Affairs has also put those in place. That's where you look after your access and benefit sharing and the like. So that has been put in place. Our Department of Trade and Industry has taken 2 initiatives. One is to amend all IP laws in relation to IKS needs in the country. But also, they have made amendments to the patent laws to include the disclosure clause. We've also moved in attempting to set up a documentation and registration system for all informal innovations, and I'll speak to that later. Well, there are many concerns about the current IP system, and I've got a longer piece in the documents that you have, and you can read about that. And this is the usual problems of biopiracy, not giving, recognizing traditional medicines, not only in an economic sense, but socially, in terms of its role within the societies. In terms of the different options that we have taken to address this innovation challenge, we have taken a two-pronged approach. One is that we will indeed pursue a development of an alternative legislation that takes into consideration the needs of the communities. And I have within the presentation a list of what may constitute that. So for now, let's just take it that the defensive protection of indigenous knowledge will try, in addition to the amendments that have been done, to fill the gap through a sui generis legislation. This, we are waiting for Parliament to pass the amendments to the IP Bill, and it is in Parliament now, after which we shall embark on the sui generis. Well, the positive development of protecting IKS, it has a lot of impact as well on shaping public policy. And in this particular case, I have just listed a number of policy instruments that is in which we are operating. Note that we don't just have a South African perspective. We're trying to project a regional perspective. And therefore, SADC pharmaceutical business plan becomes important. Within the DST, we've started the Department of Science and Technology. We've embarked on a number of policies, and they are listed here. Important, maybe for you, is to note the Indigenous Knowledge System Policy, which was adopted in 2004, and the office was established in 2006. Last year, we adopted a 10-year innovation plan. And in that 10-year innovation plan, we have five grand challenges: farmer to farmer, space science, energy security, climate change, human and social dynamics. The last point is important, that science policy is not taken in a vacuum, but takes into consideration the human and social dynamics. My focus is on the farmer to farmer. The farmer to farmer strategy attempts to bring indigenous knowledge as a basis on which to build this pharmaceutical industry. Maybe, let me go a step back. That the mandate to pursue this line is actually a party mandate. The ANC at its Polokwane conference of 2007 put that as a desire. They want to create a pharmaceutical industry that is based on African traditional medicine. And this has been taken up into our medium strategic framework as a way to move forward. And hence, it has found itself in the 10-year plan of the Department of Science and Technology. It also intends to bring in biotechnology, and the biotechnology national strategy has been there, and in the biodiversity. You all know that South Africa is very rich in its biodiversity. This is the framework in which we want to push with the farmer to farmer. First of all, we'll consider on the left side the benefit sharing, the enablers, benefit sharing, protection, regulation, infrastructure, human capital, technological innovation agencies, and the technology transfer. However, this is not for the sake of just doing the science for its sake. We're looking at the goals on the right side, the Millennium Development Goals, the national priorities, which are healthy priorities, looking at the diseases of the poor, and then wealth creation and global competitiveness. And in between is how we hope to combine this to work. It also has meant that in the way we look at discovery, we've had to include indigenous knowledge that bring in the community as a starting point for research. My colleague, Tony, who came in here, started with the libraries. But we are saying it's not sufficient. We need to begin with the living archives, the living libraries, the containers of this knowledge, who are the people. And this knowledge has been passed on, as you know, from generation to generation. How can we use this to kickstart the research? How can we enrich the process instead of going through blind searches of these throughputs? We can begin with what is known and then validate that which is known. It cuts out 3 to 4 years. But it also provides an opportunity for a phytotherapy to be pushed in the market much earlier than a phytomedicine, which is molecular, which takes a long time to come. So through this strategy, we can go through a quicker placing of medicines in the system and also continue with the scientific validation of traditional medicines. In our case, the pharma-to-pharma is a big area. It covers white biotechnology, green, red, blue. But within this complex of issues, we want to see how African traditional medicine can kick in. And so we see two spheres, in the green and in the red. And to this extent, we hope that we are beginning to line up instruments to do that. I thought I should do... this colleague here who is a specialist in the databases from India, and we in the past had been in touch with them, but there is probably a little complex for us. If we have to achieve all these kinds of work, we need to know what we have in indigenous knowledge systems. And to this end, we hope that we're going to set up a national recorder system which will be digital, distributed across the country, and on a daily basis, we employ people that will be recording indigenous knowledge. To this end, we're also going to launch a chair of indigenous knowledge system studies next month that will then interact with the databases in the area of codification, analysis, and evaluation of what is coming through the national recorder system. These kinds of activities are complex. They raise a lot of difficult questions around access to the database, what levels, in terms of is it the first office for intellectual property rights, and the like. So it is a complex issue which will not pretend that we have all the answers. We will link this to a national research network, which is a 10-gigabyte fiber cable that will go around the country. So wherever it will be, this will be able to synchronize every 24 hours and replicate the information in other databases for security. These are some of the instruments that we are putting in the communities. This is a digital doorway. We also are thinking of a wireless mesh to cover the areas where we will not have the cable. And I've got a minute to go. This is a platform that we will use that takes into consideration indigenous knowledge. It's the same platform that my colleague Tony presented, but we are organizing our communities in this way. And this is a complex matrix. We already have a bioprospecting platform. We also are finalizing the pre-clinical drug development program, biosafety platform, bioinformatics, structural biology. All these working together with indigenous knowledge system, I think we should have a competitive advantage. This is putting it in a different way. In order to take this to commercialization, you've got this picture in your The Department of Science and Technology has created an agency, Technological Innovation Agency. It is assisting us with the work in which to take ideas into development and bring venture capital together, bring academia together and government, and begin to see what we can take and spin off. So it's a complex system. I can spend all 20 minutes on that. I thought I missed an opportunity which I should give you. In testing this system, we're actually working with WIPO in trying their two kits on public awareness in terms of intellectual property rights dissemination within the society. So I think having done that, let me go to my conclusion. These are the outcomes and goals that we intend to achieve. Intellectual property rights should not only be seen as economic benefits, it has social benefits, apart from affirming the people, apart from putting indigenous knowledge on the knowledge agenda, it has many other social benefits. But it has also environmental benefits because the traditional healers and everyone will then follow the appropriate biodiversity regulations. And what we intend to do with this is to address national imperatives, to create wealth, and to contribute to the Millennium Development Goals. I thank you.